without an upright life, all professions of godliness, and all claims to true religion and salvation are vain. This is a quote coming to you from the Family Bible Notes. Now, before going further, let me ask you a question. What about this quote? I'm going to read it again in case you missed some of it. This is from the Family Bible Notes, and it says, without an upright life, all professions of godliness and all claims to true religion and salvation are vain. So I ask you, is it important that you are living an upright life as a professing Christian? Well, what about easy believism, which we have today, whereby you claim to believe in Jesus, you claim to be saved, no matter how you live? Well, what does the Bible say about this? In this broadcast, we are continuing our new series based on the theme, Striving for the Mastery. In this particular broadcast, we will use as our main text, Psalm 50, verse 23, which says, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Now, before getting into our main text, verse 23, we want to go up to verse 22 and look at that for a minute. In this psalm, it's written by Asaph, but throughout the psalm, you will see that God is speaking. Throughout the psalm, you'll see the pronoun I, and God is speaking. And here in verse 22, God is speaking, and this is what he says. Now consider this, ye that forget God. Now consider this, God is saying. What does he mean by that? He's saying, understand this. Take it to heart. Reflect upon it. Let it sink deeply into your mind and conscience, and then act upon it. And notice how he addresses his people here. He's talking to his people. He's talking to the rulers. He's talking to the ministers. And he says, now consider this, ye that forget God. Now that's rather strange, but let me explain what he means by that. He's talking to those who really forgot God, though they are professedly engaged in his worship. Amidst the forms of religion, they are actually living an entire forgetfulness of his just claims and his true character. If he would do the same today, if he would be speaking to people today, he would be saying, now consider this, you who go to church every Sunday, you who post scriptures on Facebook for all to see. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with posting scriptures on Facebook, but there is something wrong when you are not living right and your life doesn't line up with what you're posting. Now consider this, ye that forget God. You see, God has left us all at liberty if we please to forget him. And it's so easy nowadays with the social media and all the distractions. It's so easy for us to bury ourselves in the things around us. So much is vying for our attention that it's so easy to get buried in it all. And forgetfulness of God is a common thing. It was common back then, and it's common today. And so once again, we want to look at who is being charged here. Well, verse 16 explains that it is those who are declaring God's statutes and taking his covenant in their mouth. In other words, They're speaking the word. They're speaking the promises. They're teaching the word. They're preaching the word. They're proclaiming the word. But yet they're not living it. They're mentioning his laws, God's laws, but they're not keeping them. They are hearers of the word, but not doers. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Now consider this, ye that forget God. There are professors of Christianity whose practice contradicts their profession. Or we could say it this way, whose lifestyle contradicts their profession. There are ministers who teach others, but yet they neglect to teach themselves. He's talking to people who declared his statutes to others, yet they lived in disobedience to them themselves. They pretended to be of God's people, but they were hypocrites. They claimed the privileges of God's servants, but they performed none of the duties. Now consider this, ye that forget God. Then we go to our main text, verse 23, which says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now notice, God is still speaking here, and he says, to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. The King James uses the word conversation, but what that means is your course of life, your walk, your conduct. Okay, so the one who orders his conversation aright is one who is attentive to his going. He seeks to walk in the right path. He lays down a straight path and pursues it. He's careful that his conduct is in accordance with God's will. He lives orderly. He orders his conversation. He lives orderly according to the rule of God's word. He walks circumspectly and wisely in the world. He casts out whatever may be wrong in his conduct. At once, he sets about correcting it. If he should hear or be corrected, be rebuked, hear a message that convicts him, he immediately goes about to correct that part of his conduct that is wrong. Matthew Henry said, those that take care of their conversation make sure their salvation. Now God said this. He said, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. He said, to these I will show my salvation. They will see and enjoy the great salvation of which I am the author. This great spiritual and eternal salvation that was purchased by Jesus' death, and he alone can give it. Matthew Henry said, the right ordering of the conversation is the only way, and it is a sure way to obtain the great salvation. Now, in closing, what we want to do is we want to look at five scriptures that take us deeper into understanding what it means to order your conversation aright. You see, God is speaking here, and he said, to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Well, it's very important that we understand what that means. What does God mean when he's talking about ordering your conversation aright? Okay, first of all, to him that orders his conversation aright, he will have a firm commitment to do God's will. John 7:17, in this verse, Jesus said, if any man will do his will. So to him that orders his conversation aright, his will be melted into God's will. His will is said to fulfill God's will. He has a disposition to do God's will. He has a serious purpose of heart to obey God in everything. The Full Life Study Bible said this: true saving faith and an experiential knowledge of his teachings require a sincere desire to do the will of God. To believe is to obey. Secondly, to him that orders his conversation aright, this man will abide and continue in the word. John 8:31-32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So to him that orders his conversation aright, he will receive and continue in the word. He will carry it into every thought, every transaction, every temptation, and every trouble. The word of God will become the object of his absolute obedience. He'll order his life by it and put it into practice. The third thing, to him that orders his conversation aright, this man will behave as a citizen of heaven. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So the man that orders his conversation aright, he behaves, he lives, he does his duty as a good citizen of the heavenly kingdom. He is ruled by the laws of heaven. In other words, he doesn't flirt with the world. He doesn't mind earthly things, but he sets his affection on things above, and he shuns everything that would hinder a perfect conformity to Christ in his life. The fourth thing, to him that orders his conversation aright, this man is holy in the whole course of his daily life. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This man that's ordering his conversation aright, he is holy in all his conduct. With whomsoever he converses or meets up with, whether it's believers or infidels, it doesn't matter which group he's in, if he's with the Christians or if he's with the sinners, he is holy in all his conduct. He's holy also whether he's with friends or enemies, family or strangers. He's holy in all his conduct in whatever condition he finds himself in, whether he's in peace or in trouble, whether he's in prosperity or in adversity. He is holy in all his conduct, which means that he's separated from the ungodly ways of the world, and he's set apart for the love, service, and worship of God. The biblical illustrator said this: we are holy up to the measure in which we are God possessed. And lastly, number five, to him that orders his conversation aright, this man pursues purity. He is living in the reality of Christ's return, and this makes a difference in his behavior. 1 John 3:2-3 says, but we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The hope of the imminent return of Christ has a sanctifying influence in the life of him that orders his conversation aright. When Jesus comes, he realizes he shall be like him. So his purpose is to become more and more like Jesus, to grow in grace and holiness. And this hope of heaven constrains him to be diligent in his growth and holiness, avoiding embracing the lawless ways of the world. All right, so we saw in our main text, Psalm 50, verse 23, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. This is God speaking here. He said, to him that orders his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. We saw through the scriptures that to order your conversation aright entails having a firm commitment to do God's will, to abide and continue in the word, to behave as a citizen of heaven, to be holy in the whole course of your daily life, and to pursue purity while living in the reality of Christ's return. Once again, we look at our opening quote from the Family Bible Notes. This is what it said. Without an upright life, all professions of godliness and all claims to true religion and salvation are vain. The question I ask you today is this. Are you truly saved? Are you truly saved? If you say yes, then prove it with an upright life. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of the theme, Striving for the Mastery. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that you will walk in the truth every day of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.